97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning, fellow garbage people. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. So happy to be surrounded by you this morning. How about you, Kim St. Ange?
Oh, yeah. You think Oscar the Grouch is going to say Oscar the Grouch for Trump? Or
Kim St. Ange handing out last-minute costume ideas this morning here on the show. She's like, hey, if you're going to go walk around your neighborhood with your kids, just throw a garbage bag over your body, cut a little hole out for the head and the arms, and stick some, you know, garbage onto your body. Some empty, you know, cereal boxes or water bottles.
Yeah, wad up some
bottles,
pieces of paper and tape it to a t-shirt. Yeah.
If anybody asks you who you are, you're a garbage Trump supporter.
You just Perfect. Say you're a Trump supporter. That's all you have
yeah,
to say.
Thank you. I'm a Trump supporter. I'm garbage, according to our friend Joe Biden. This is what he said last night. And I was just watching network news. They're like, the Trump campaign is already trying to fundraise off this comment by the president, but he didn't really mean it. This is their excuse, a running cover for him. In case you didn't hear the bite, we're going to play it for you here in just a minute. This is absolutely, positively Hillary Clinton territory. And it was a major disaster for her, and I think it's going to be a major disaster for Kamala Harris.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
You name it. You're just a piece of garbage.
I think he meant it. He just didn't mean to say it.
Joe's not quite sure what's going on. He made the comments while she was out on the ellipse giving a speech. Like they're probably scratching their head over the campaign, wondering what in the world is going on. Hey, have you wondered where Nikki Haley is, Kim?
A little bit.
I found her, and I'm gonna introduce you to where she is these days here in just a minute. First, Carl Middleman, we have Genevieve Wood coming up, then Rick Stream from St. Louis County to talk about record voter turnout. But first, I want to get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
For Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is just supporters.
The only garbage I see floating out there are his supporters. 80 million of you strong, at least. There may be more this year based on this record voter turnout.
Look, here's the October surprise. It just arrived. This is the basket of deplorables moment. That's what Hillary Clinton said in 16 that tanked her campaign.
Vivek Ramaswamy was on Fox just minutes after that happened and giving his immediate reaction. Yeah, is it the October surprise or is it the fact that Tim Walz had a girlfriend tied to the Chinese Communist Party? I don't know.
You know, Nancy Pelosi sent me to a federal prison. The 4 months in federal prison not only didn't break me, it empowered me.
How about that? Steve Bannon is back just in time for the final few days before the election. I don't know if anybody that listens to his show wasn't already voting for Trump, but it's good to have his voice back.
I mean, they're very aware that we're on standby. They know that we would be there to help. I've helped with some fundraising letters.
Yeah, Nikki Haley was on Fox last night with Bret Baier. And if you didn't see it, you're probably wondering, maybe you're scratching your head a little bit. Maybe you're thinking, well, there were a few people out there that voted for her. I mean, Trump dominated just about every primary in every state, and she came in second or third in a couple of them. So there were a number of people that were going to vote for her over Trump in the primary. I have a hard time believing those people are not going to vote for Trump in the general. But it is kind of a head scratcher as to why they haven't brought her in.
I don't think Trump wants her.
Well, I know that.
I think he's made that clear that it's not that Nikki Haley's not willing. In fact, if anything, I think she would like that ability to have such a large crowd to speak in front of. I think it's that Trump is frustrated with the way things went down.
I agree. He values loyalty over everything else, I think. Mm-hmm. And he perceives her hanging around for 2 or 3 months longer than she should have as being disloyal.
Right, because he had to spend time in the campaign trying to defeat her instead of, you know, using all that money and energy and time to defeat, well, at the time it was Joe Biden.
Here's what she said to Bret Baier last night. He asks her the question here.
the Harris campaign is utilizing some Republicans who've come to support her, including former Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Clearly, a lot of analysts think they're going after voters who supported you in the primary. The Associated Press says, as Democrats court Haley supporters, the former UN ambassador is still waiting to hear from Trump. When was the last time you talked to the former president?
Last time I talked to him was back in June.
So are you surprised that you haven't been deployed out to campaign, or have you volunteered to go out and campaign for him directly?
I mean, they're very aware that we're on standby. They know that we would be there to help. I've helped with some fundraising letters and text messages and those types of things. So we've done that. But look, we're on the same team. It is their campaign's decision on what he needs in these last final days. It does not bother me at all. I think they need to do what they need to do to get across the finish line. I just think that they need to focus primarily on who it is they're talking to.
Yeah, that was Nikki Haley. We've been on standby, waiting for them to ask us to help. And the phone has not been ringing for Nikki Haley. Just like her future prospects in the Republican Party, the phone is not ringing.
I don't think he feels as though he needs her. And maybe he's wrong on that, but I think that I don't blame him for not wanting to run off and get her, because people might then question the authenticity of that. That's really big for me, feeling like someone's being authentic. And I think that's one reason people like Trump, because even if you don't like what he's saying, and I'm in that camp of sometimes I'm like, gosh, could you just not say that, please? You still have to respect the fact that you're not, he doesn't seem two-faced. You feel like what you see when he's out there at his rallies, well, that is the Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't have much of a filter.
Well, but you do have people like John, is it John? Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire. I think it's Chris. His dad was John, who was all in for Nikki Haley and said some horrible things about Donald Trump, but who is now actively out electioneering for Donald Trump in New Hampshire and going on as a surrogate in media around the country. I mean, I hear him on with Kilmeade all the time. So you do have people like that who were highly critical. I think she went a little too far with some of it, and Trump has just exiled her.
Did you see that supposedly the Trump campaign offered 50 Cent $3 million to perform at the Madison Square Garden rally and that he turned it down?
No, I didn't. Really?
Yeah. Those were the reports that came out yesterday. I guess not. I mean, I would think he'd be more than willing to take that money if he supported Trump.
Huh. I don't know what the crowd was in New York. I don't know what the age of that crowd was. But, you know, I thought they made some odd decisions, to be honest with you. Like at the RNC convention, some of the music they had playing didn't seem to fit with the crowd, I didn't think. So I don't know if that would have gone over well or not.
Oh, thank you, Carl.
Oh, Carl queued some up.
This takes me back to, I don't know if it would be high school or college. Probably high school.
Early 2000s.
Trump would have made the point that your dollar is only worth 50 cents these days. See, it would have been perfect.
That deserved it, but I'm bummed.
Thank you. I know.
That was good, Mark.
All right. I appreciate that. That's all I got
thank
for you.
You.
Coming up, we're going to get to Genevieve Wood, of course, for the Heritage Foundation, and talk more about the situation in Virginia, where a judge looked at it, said, yep, you're right, those are illegal aliens who shouldn't be, those are non-citizens, shouldn't be on the ballot, but we're going to leave them there anyway. It's a head-scratcher. We'll talk to Genevieve about it coming up.
For Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is just supporters.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Every day, Genevieve Wood, there's something new that distracts us like a kitten with a laser pointer, right?
Oh, my word. I mean, I thought deplorable was going to be the bottom of the barrel, but apparently no. Garbage, that's the new term for anybody who disagrees with those on the left. You're now garbage.
Yeah, Kim came up with a great idea earlier for a Halloween costume for tomorrow. Just to throw a garbage bag over yourself, glue a couple pieces of garbage to it, and walk around as a Trump supporter.
That's a great idea.
It's a costume
on a
budget.
Good idea. Well, in this economy, you know, you can do what you can do. I mean, this is what it is.
Thank you. Right?
Look, it's one of those things, though. It's like, why do they have him out there, right? Two, why, you know, was this planned? Was this a line that they talked about? Did he just come up with it on his own? I mean, in my view, this is what they really think. I mean, this is what they really, truly think. And it's not just Joe Biden. It's probably everybody that works in the Kamala Harris campaign and the people who support it. I don't know if you saw her rally last night, but I saw some of the interviews with people afterwards. And you had reporters going, like, what does she stand for? And even after they'd been at the thing last night, they still couldn't say, here's what she's done over the last 4 years. So I'm not going to call her garbage, but I'm going to call their policies garbage. I'm going to say that what they've done for the last 4 years has made a lot of garbage for Americans.
Yeah.
And the reality is, you know, you should talk about policies, not personality. But that's all they've got.
It's true. I mean, the garbage is worth a lot more these days because of inflation, right? You had to pay a lot more for those things before you threw them out, for sure. You know, I've been fascinated. This is sort of in your backyard there in D.C. On this Virginia court decision to make them return non-citizens to the voter rolls. I am baffled by this.
Well, I think in this case, I think President Trump nailed it. Talk about weaponizing a department against a state. In this case, this is the Department of Justice, who's come out in the last 25 days and said, oh, you got to put these folks back on the rolls. You didn't have the ability to do this. This is a Virginia state law that's been in the law since 2006. As Governor Youngkin, the governor of Virginia, pointed out, a Democratic governor signed it into law. Both Republican and Democratic governors have used it to remove people from the voter rolls who were non-citizens over the years. So this is nothing new. But out of the blue, here comes the Department of Justice with 25 days before the election to say, oh, you can't do this, 90. You can't do this in this time window. Well, then why can they do it in this time window?
Yeah.
I think they picked the window because they think it's going to be hard to get a court, because, you know, the court that overturned it, they appealed to the Fourth Circuit, which I don't think is a conservative circuit of judges. And so they wouldn't hear it. And so they've had to take it to the Supreme Court. And it's not clear that the court will be able to rule before November 5, next Tuesday. Let's hope they do.
You know, one of the issues on our ballot here in Missouri is talking about abortion, but it also relates to gender affirming care. And you know, the people who are saying vote yes say, oh, that's, you're just exaggerating. That's not what's going to happen. But it's so clear that it will. And I thought it was fantastic that Marco Rubio's coming out there and he's saying, you know, I feel like the NIH is not being transparent. They're hiding what we feel like are these effects from this gender affirming care, as they call it.
Yeah, and I would encourage people to check out the story on the Daily Signal. He brought to light that the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, Dr. Fauci's favorite institute and agency, they gave $6 million several years ago to a scientist and researcher in California and her group to do research on this very thing. Like, if you give these transition, like puberty blockers and these drugs to kids who say they want to transition, if you give that to them, what are the effects? And what we don't know all the findings of the study because they never released it. We spent $6 million on a study to find out the answers to questions, and then they do the study and they don't release the findings. What does that tell you? Well, we know in an article that she published that one of the findings was that approximately a fourth of the kids that took these drugs ended up wanting to be suicidal.
Yes.
Well, if those are your findings and that's not the agenda you're trying to push, you just don't release them. I don't think that's science. Is that science?
No, it's
I mean, that's
it's not
it's
science.
So wise.
True. And I love the other story on here. Jay Green's got a piece on the Daily Signal today asking this question. Whenever you bring this up, people will tell you, well, those surgeries for gender modification on minors are very rare. So he asked the question, how rare are they? And according to a new study, there were 5,747 sex change surgeries performed on children in the U.S. between 2019 and 2023. And he said that comes out to about 9.2 per 100,000, which might still sound like not many until you consider, for example, drowning kills 0.8 per 100,000 young people every year, which means deaths are 1/11 as common as gender surgeries among children of roughly the same age.
And what we know about all of this, if you look at other studies on all this, is that the vast majority of kids, if they're just allowed to get through puberty, they decide they don't want to change sexes.
Yes.
Okay? And so, but all this stuff is irreversible. Once you have these surgeries, you can't go back and change that again. You can't replace body parts you've taken off. The damages these puberty blockers and other drugs will do that sterilizes kids. They're making a decision when they're 16, 15, 14 years old that's going to mean they can never have kids in the future. I mean, and we're allowing them, and yet we don't allow these kids to drink. We don't allow them to buy cigarettes. We don't allow them to do all sorts of other things on their own. But now we've got the government saying it's okay. And by the way, if parents don't like it, we're going to come take your kids in some state.
Eye-opening.
Scary stuff.
Yeah. Genevieve Wood, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Go to the polls, everybody.
You bet. Coming up, Rick Stream. We'll be right back.
Hi, Mark. My wife and I voted at 5 o'clock last night at the main Jefferson County location. It was moving great over there. We were 10 minutes from door to door. Get out and vote.
All right, folks, my Jefferson County listeners down there, you got it. Where are you? People are standing in line in St. Louis County and St. Charles County, I know for sure. You got to get out and vote, folks. Let's turn that early vote out for sure. And what we do know is that some of the turnout is bordering on record turnout right now. I've got Rick Stream with me, Republican St. Louis County Election Commissioner. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Mark, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. What are these numbers looking like for you?
Well, it continues to go up every day. Yesterday, we had over 21,000 people vote at our 14 satellite locations. So as of last night, this morning, we've had 120,000 people vote early in just these 8 days since it started on October 22nd. And if this turnout continues, if this trend continues, we'll have close to 200,000 people voting early just in these 2 weeks. So combined with the mail-in ballots and the other early voting and the open military and overseas, we'll have probably close to 250,000 votes in before we start Election Day, which is a record by far and away. In 2020, we had 221,000 early votes altogether. Most of it was mail, as we all recall, mail-in. And that was a record by far, and it preceded then that we were going to have a record percentage turnout for the election, 79.3%. So I don't know if this is if people are voting early and it'll lessen the amount on Election Day, or if it'll just continue into Election Day. But right now, it's moving at a record turnout.
We've talked a lot on the show about challenges that have been, you know, people are dealing with in St. Charles County. Any challenges that you're dealing with there in St. Louis County?
Well, we have 14 sites, and we had them in August just to test it out to see the locations. And by the way, the St. Louis County Library System has just been terrific for us. They have opened their libraries for us, and frankly, they're being overwhelmed right now. And I would urge your listeners, if they would like to, if they go to the county libraries or pick up a phone and call them and just thank them for allowing us to be there, because they're taking in about 1,500 voters a day in an 8.5-hour period. So there are long lines, but it's moving. They can go to our website and see how long the lines are at each place. Most of our sites, the west and south and in the mid-county, Clark Family Library in Oak Bend, are very, very busy. But if you come up to our office, it's busy here too, but we have 9 stations that we can process people through. And we also have 16 parking spaces for the accessible voting for those who have physical handicaps, and those people are moved through very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have any indication. Like, do you know, can you project right now, if you said you had 225,000 early votes, what percentage would that represent in terms of voter turnout?
Well, right now we have about 665,000 active registered voters. So you just factor that in. It's going to be over 40% of the total active registered voters will have voted early.
Wow. So now the question is, what happens on Election Day? So you have 14 locations now. When you've actually got people going to vote on Election Day, how many more places will be available?
Right. Well, we have 230 polling places lined up for Election Day. That's
okay.
Our normal amount. So actually, In 2020, we had, again, a record turnout for that time of early voting. Election day started off heavy at all of our places, but by 2, 3, and 4 in the afternoon, it was light. And we don't know if that's going to happen again. Like I said, we had an almost 80% turnout, but that still meant 130,000 active registered voters didn't vote in the presidential election. So,
and Rick, I'm assuming there's no way to break this down by party yet in terms of turnout, right?
No, because we don't register by party here.
Right.
And it's hard to say. I mean, North County is more Democrat, and that's our lowest performing satellite locations right now. But that doesn't mean that people aren't going other places. Our office is in North County, and it's the heaviest one. We have over 2,000 people voting in our office every day.
Yeah, yeah, but the Board of Elections there, for sure.
Sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, we've still got today and tomorrow. Are you open on Monday as well?
Yes. Yeah, we're open 8 to 4:30 today, tomorrow, and Friday, and then 9 to 1 on Saturday at all of our sites. And then on Monday, the day before the election, we're open from 8 to 5 for voting. 8 to 5.
Yeah. Good.
It seems like you guys have it together. I think that's what it was, a misstep in St. Charles County for not having more polling locations. And I know part of the challenge is maybe getting enough election workers, right? Because there is some training associated with that. And obviously there's a time commitment that maybe not everybody can, you know, offer.
Sure. It's this has probably been a situation throughout the state with this early voting. We only had 7,700 people vote early for the 4 weeks of excused absentee voting. And that was less than 2,000 a day, I mean a week, and we're getting 2,000 a day in our office.
Yeah.
I think we had 14 sites. I think in other places they weren't quite sure how many people were going to turn out, and it's been just overwhelming.
Are you hearing from any other election officials around the state? Are they seeing similar numbers?
Yes. I don't know about similar, but they're seeing a big increase. And I think one of the issues, like in St. Charles, is you have to find a place to let you in for 2 weeks. And that may be that's a real difficult situation. And like I said, the library system here in St. Louis County has been terrific in that regard.
Well, that's good. I'm encouraged by this. I hope people are turning out to vote the way I'm hoping they're going to vote. Rick, I'm sure you're just happy that
yes,
that they're turning out, right?
Yeah, we are, because the more the turnout early, the less trouble we're going to have on Election Day, because Election Day is the last day. I mean, the election days don't change, and if we don't get it right on Election Day, there's no way to fix it. So although we're always prepared for every contingency, we encourage people to vote early.
Yeah, because you just, like, that's what I've been telling people. You just never know. I think Republicans have been the last to embrace the idea of early voting, but clearly that's not the case this year.
No, I agree with you on that. And certainly around the country, and I think here in too, in St. Louis County, I know virtually all of my family has voted early, and all of our friends too. So, and I encourage people to take that notice of election card that has a sample ballot that we mailed every voter, study it, research it, mark it up before you come to the polls, and that'll shorten the time you're in the polling place.
So when do you start counting all of these early voting totals?
Sure.
On Election Day, or when the polls close at 7, or when do you start tallying them?
Yeah, we cannot tabulate any votes until 7 p.m. on Election Day.
Okay.
So that's when we take the thumb drives out of our scanners and put them into the tabulation computer that has a Republican code and a Democrat code, and then we start to tabulate at 7 p.m. Hopefully by 7:30, 7:45, we'll be able to report out all of the absentee votes that we've had in. So like we did in 2020, we reported 221,000 absentee votes at 7:30.
Well, what if the mail-in ballots are not postmarked? Because I know that's being talked about right now in some other states and how they're still going to accept them.
Sure. That's not the case in Missouri. In Missouri, Missouri has very strict election laws, unlike a lot of states. It has to be in our hands by 7 p.m. on election night. It doesn't matter when it was postmarked. It has to be in our hands. And if we've had parents FedEx their kids' ballots from college at a great cost of $200, and they get to our office at 7:10, and we don't accept it.
Yeah.
So it has to be in our hands. We go around to the two post offices nearby downtown and St. Anne at 6 o'clock with a bipartisan team and pick up any ballots that are in the post office at that time, because we feel if it's in the post office, it's basically, you know, should be in our hands. So that way we get all the ballots that are there. And You know, but we do have a number of them that come in, dozens, sometimes hundreds that come in after Election Day. So I encourage everybody who has an absentee ballot in their hand, bring it to our office or bring it to one of the satellite locations and turn it in.
Yeah, true. Well, I tell you, Workstream, I know you got another busy day ahead of you. I appreciate you giving me some time this morning and keeping us updated on this.
Sure, Mark. I appreciate having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll talk soon. Rick Stream there, Republican election commissioner in St. Louis County.
It seems like all states should adopt that, where the ballot has to be physically in their hands by that time, that 7 o'clock deadline, in order to be counted.
Yeah,
I think it's absolute bogus that some of these states are allowing these ballots to be counted if they're not even postmarked. I mean, you want to make people feel like elections are secure. Well, that's one way you can do it, because that raises some questions for me.
Well, it's also bogus in these states where you can remote vote. You can mail your ballot in and you don't have to prove who you are when you do it. At least in Missouri, unless you're disabled, and that's the only exception on there. That's why you can't get to the polls. You're so old you can't drive, or whatever the case may be, you're expected to get your ballot notarized so they know you are the person who signed that ballot. It prevents ballot harvesting and all of those problems. And there are states in this country where it's illegal to force somebody to show an ID to prove who they are when they vote.
Hey, you know, I'm not about big government, but this just seems like something that should be federally regulated. It should be the same. Non-citizens should not be allowed to vote in any election. I know they're not supposed to vote in federal, but we know in some states, including Missouri, local elections are fair game for whatever ridiculous reason. And that ties into Amendment 7 here, right?
Yes.
So I just don't understand why it's not kind of a blanket, hey, this is how it's going to go down on Election Day, and the rules that are put forward as it relates to early voting, and this is how it's going to be done, and if you don't, your vote doesn't count.
Yes, on 7 for sure, because you'll ban non-citizens from being able to vote in the state of Missouri, period. Municipal elections as well. All right, quick break here. Kim, what are we whimming about?
Are you guys all following what's going on with these whales? They're washing up on shore, and I wasn't familiar with it until Donald Trump started talking about it.
Wow.
In the name of climate change.
That guy knows a little bit about everything. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Donald Trump brought something to my attention I'll admit I was not aware of, and this was during his interview with Joe Rogan, and he was talking about the controversy surrounding all of these whales that have been washing up on shore in the East Coast. And the point he was trying to make is that these wind turbines that they're installing offshore are leading to this uptick in whale deaths. Just from 2016, I was watching this documentary on it, 350 whales have died along the East Coast. This is a huge uptick. They were saying, this one marine biologist, I think was his title, he was saying how, you know, over the course of several months, he might see a couple. He says now he might see four in a matter of just a couple of days. That's how much this has gone up. And they're saying it's the vibration from these wind turbines as they're being installed. And then, of course, the movement of these massive blades that it's making the whales go berserk.
That it emits some sort of a sonic tone.
Like it's sonar, right.
Because
or
if you Google it, they'll all tell you that is fake news. The Yale Climate Connection will tell you it's a myth.
Well, and that's
that it's killing whales.
That's, of course, because they want these wind turbines everywhere because they're so worried about climate change. So they have to make sure that we're using wind energy, right? And so they don't want to admit that could be potentially causing whales to die.
You're probably too young to remember this, but do you remember the snail darter?
No.
The snail darter was some little snail found in a riverbed, and the environmentalists used this as an excuse to block multiple dams being built and things that would provide energy and all these things because it would wipe out the snail darter. And that's a case where they were doing it because they wanted to protect the environment. In this case, they want to end coal and fossil fuel burning, so they want these turbines, and they're willing to overlook the death of mammals, potentially. It at least needs to be investigated more.
Absolutely. I don't know why they're so closed off to even investigating further. This one marine biologist, who's also featured in this documentary, she was talking about how she's worried that it's gotten so bad. She's like, these animals could, some breeds could become extinct. If you're interested, by the way, in watching that, the video that I'm referring to, it's called Thrown to the Wind. And I saw it on Twitter, actually, and it was like 30 minutes. It's not long. You're not having to commit, you know, 2 hours to watch this. But it's interesting to see the rise in these deaths. And it's stark, like I'm saying. It's not like it's, oh, a couple more deaths. It was big, huge jumps. And I thought it was so interesting that Trump took time during the interview with Rogan to talk about it, because it seems so random. But I just think it's something that, yeah, some people have been talking about it. Some lawmakers, conservative lawmakers, have been trying to, you know, bring more attention to it. But a lot of people, myself included, were just not familiar with this issue.
Yeah, yeah. Proponents of offshore wind are quick to blame global warming. This is an article in NorthJersey.com. People are quick to point fingers. They've compelled local communities to question the risk and benefits of offshore wind. Sadly, these same deaths of the whales have revealed a disturbing lack of curiosity among the oil companies turned offshore wind developers and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And they want to blame climate change, but not wind turbines.
Climate change is to blame for everything, right?
Every single thing, all over the place, every single time. How dare you? How dare you? All right, coming up, we're going to get to Taylor Riggs on business.
Get more at 971talk.com.